Hello and welcome to episode number 63 of the AFTV Newscast, being recorded November 18th, 2016. How'd you like that intro's music video thing that I just added? I just started adding those to all my videos. If you're listening to the audio version, you probably just heard the music, but there's a little intro animation that goes on now in at the beginning. So hopefully you enjoyed that. Tried to keep it really short and really concise, but a lot of people have been asking me to add some kind of intro so it doesn't just jump right into me yelling at your face. This is the AFTV Newscast. I'm Elias Sabah. I run AFTVnews.com. This is where I talk about the week's Fire TV news. Before we get into that news, I do want to quickly mention that my YouTube channel, youtube.com/AFTV News, I've been doing something new this week. Those of you who are subscribed probably have already noticed, but what I've been doing is actually taking little clips from the previous podcast episode and putting those up separately on YouTube as little excerpts from the podcast. I did this mostly so that I can kind of gauge the topics that you guys are interested in. That way I can look at the view counts on the particular topics. And a lot of people have actually asked me to do something like this because they don't have time to watch the entire, you know, 1 hour or so long episode, but maybe they just want to watch specific pieces of the episode, and it's hard for them to find the parts that they want. So I figured this way, after the main episode goes up on Saturdays, you know, as it normally does, both in video and audio versions, throughout the week, I'll be putting up these clips from that week's episode, basically just on the specific topics that I think can like survive on their own or might be interesting just on their own. If I have time, I'll probably go into previous episodes and cut out little segments that I think, again, are kind of would live on their own and people would find interesting on their own. So just something to let you guys know about. If you go to youtube.com/AFTV News and subscribe there, you'll get kind of a more constant stream of videos. Again, if you've watched the entire podcast episode for the week, there's really no point to watch the little clips because they are identical to the content that is in the podcast. But if you don't find time to watch the entire 1 hour episode, you can actually catch just the parts that you might be more interested in. So let's go ahead and jump right into the news. So I just put up this guide at AFTVnews.com about how to root the Amazon Fire TV using the Dirty Cow vulnerability. I talked about this in a previous video about how this new vulnerability is out. A lot of Android devices are being rooted using it. And this mostly applies to the first gen Fire TV running the older Fire OS 3 software version. So this Dirty Cow exploit does not work on the latest 5.2.1.0 and up software versions for the newer devices or even the older devices. So Fire TV 2, Fire TV 1, Fire TV Stick 1 and 2, all on the newest software versions cannot be rooted currently, at least, using this Dirty Cow exploit vulnerability. Now that's mostly due to something called SE Linux that got activated on these latest software versions. So again, this is mostly for the first gen Fire TV running software version 51.1.2.0 through 51.1.4.0. So those software versions, they were not rootable previously, you know, previous to this Dirty Cow version, but those software versions are in a sweet spot because the device was not rootable, but it is before Amazon initiated the eFuse. I'll put a link down below to what the eFuse is and what it means and why it was turned on and all that stuff. I won't go into it now because it's a whole separate big topic on its own. But basically, if you have the Fire TV 1 and you have these specific software versions, 51.1.2.0 through 51.1.4.0, you're better off rooting using this method, the Dirty Cow method, than to actually let the device update to FireOS 5 and then hope to root it that way. Because if you use Dirty Cow, you'll be able to downgrade and unlock your bootloader, which gives you a little bit more access to the device, a little more options for recovering if something goes wrong, that sort of stuff. I won't go into the nitty-gritty parts of this guide right now. Again, I'll put a link down below to this guide and everything you need to do. You might be able to use this guide to root software version 51.1.4.1 through 51.1.6.3. Those are all of the later Fire OS 3 software versions. But again, you won't be able to downgrade and you won't be able to unlock your bootloader on those versions, but you might still be able to root it. I don't know for sure. You might be able to also use this guide to root older Fire OS 3 Fire TV sticks. Those were previously unrootable. Those only became rootable with Fire OS 5. Again, I would still recommend on those devices to just go ahead and upgrade to Fire OS 5. You'll probably take Fire OS 5.0.5 that will be rootable using the King Root rooting method that's a lot easier than using this dirty cow method. So for Fire TV Stick owners, I do recommend letting it update over the air. You'll probably get that rootable version, but it is possible if you want to try using Dirty Cow and staying on Fire OS 3. That's also your option there. Again, for later devices, Fire TV 2, Fire TV Stick 2, Fire TV Stick 2 specifically, you can't root that at all because that comes with 5.2.2.0, and there's nothing that can root that so far. Probably in the future, there'll be new methods. There's always new methods, you know, later on, so just hold tight for those devices. But as for Fire TVs 1 and 2 and Fire TV Stick 1 running the latest software version, currently that's 5.2.1.0. Again, this does not work for that. There might be a way down the line for Dirty Cow to be, you know, modified and work for those software versions, but at the moment it's not possible. So again, look for the link down below. That will get you a lot more info and let you know where to go. As always, go to aftvnews.com/start. That's my rooting starters guide. It lists every single device, every single software version for those devices. You just select the device, select the software version, and it'll take you to a page that tells you exactly what are your options for rooting, whether you can root, all the different methods you can root, because some software versions can actually root using multiple versions. It'll tell you which version is best for your device's software and your specific device. So definitely go to that. Again, aftvnews.com/start. That's where you should always go whenever you're starting to root a device. That'll always, I keep that updated to the latest versions. I just updated it before recording this video going live. So again, always look for that first. Next up, I released my first Fire TV app. It's called Downloader. I released it last week, got approved on the Fire TV's Amazon App Store, so it's officially in the App Store. The purpose of this app is to actually make it dead simple, you know, easiest way possible to actually sideload APKs onto the Fire TV or Fire TV Stick, as long as those APKs are uploaded somewhere on the internet. So the app itself is dead simple. Like I said, there's really nothing much to it. It's my first app in the App Store. This is what I was doing when I wasn't recording that episode, what, 2 weeks ago, the podcast episode. You know, I took a week off. I decided to basically figure out how to make an Android app and created this really simple app. It's very basic. All it does is it has a URL field. You enter a URL, ideally to a file, you know, probably to an APK file since that's the main purpose. Hit the download button. That file at the URL that you entered will be downloaded to your device. It gets downloaded to the /SD card/downloader directory. It creates that directory, puts the file there. If the file happens to be an APK file, then it will trigger the install automatically. And that's it, you know, you'll install it. So I wrote a guide on how to use the app. Again, it's really simple. You don't really need the guide, but it's there if you need it. I'll put a link down below to the app itself, to this guide itself, of course, as always. I also created a video guide for this. So that's on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/AFTVnews. You can check that out there. Again, I think it's so dead simple. You really don't need it, but hey, I created it anyway. So, you know, to use the app basically to install an APK, to sideload an APK file, you of course have to enable apps from unknown sources first, download the app, install it, enter the URL, and then it just installs the actual APK file that's at that URL. So again, dead simple, links down below to everything you need. I do plan to hopefully find time to update the app and add some more features. Again, right now there's not much there. Like for example, you can't delete the file after it's downloaded it. You know, after you've installed the APK, there's no option to go in and delete it. You can always use a file manager like ES File Explorer or File Commander to, again, go in, navigate to SD card/downloader, and that's where you'll find all the files that my app installs. But yeah, hopefully down the line I'll add some more features. If you have any issues with the app, please let me know. Email me, you know, at the usual places. I'll try to get to those. But again, hopefully it's simple for you, and hopefully it makes sideloading a little bit easier. All right, moving on. Next topic. NFL has actually released a brand new app for the Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick. It's a pretty nice app. It kind of blends in all of the different NFL streaming options that they have, and there are quite a few of those. I'll go over them in this video here. So basically, you've got NFL Now, you've got NFL Game Pass, you've got the NFL Network, and NFL Red Zone. All of those are kind of now into this one app. Before, you actually had different apps for these different NFL services that you can watch games and live games and streaming video, on-demand games, that sort of stuff, highlights, clips. It used to all be kind of spread out. Now it's in this one app called NFL. Of course, I'll put a link down below to this app and, of course, to this article that I wrote for my overview with screenshots and that sort of stuff. But like I said, the app has all these different kind of NFL streaming properties in one. NFL Now, which is at the top of the app, is basically where you're going to find the free content. So you've got highlight clips, and there's actually even a live stream just called NFL Now, where you can actually tune in and see them talk about previous games, and you can actually see on-demand video in this section also for NFL Now highlight clips. Moving down, there's a Games of the Week section. That's where you'll find basically highlight clips for specific games. You also find the scores of those games there. You can see here it basically breaks down a game highlights at the top, and then it has the Game Pass options for that particular game if you click through into a game. With Game Pass, it's a $75 annual subscription, and that basically lets you watch on-demand videos of all of the NFL games that have pretty much aired from the current time back to the start of the 2012 season, I believe. Those are all accessible from within this app. Most games also have a condensed version, and so basically it just shortens the game down so you can watch it quicker. And then some games also have a coach's film. The coach's film basically gives you like static shots of like the entire field so that you can, you know, basically it's the shot that coaches would watch if they're reviewing the tapes of the games to kind of see how all the players or any single player was doing. Again, the Game Pass option, it is a subscription. You have to subscribe. You can subscribe directly through the app. One tip is to actually purchase Amazon coins ahead of time and then use those to purchase the Game Pass subscription, because you can buy Amazon coins for less than their face value, essentially. So if you bought, you know, $50 worth of Amazon coins, you can get that for around, I think, like $40. So it's much smarter to get the coins first. I'll put links down below to the coins directly that you would need for purchasing the Game Pass subscription. Scrolling further into the app, there's a whole season section, so you can dive in to particular seasons, and then from each season it breaks it down by week, and you can see the games of that week. Again, this includes all of the games from the seasons. It includes preseason games, it includes Super Bowl games, it includes Pro Bowl games, it includes playoff games. So really there's a lot of content here if you are subscribed to that Game Pass option. Then moving down even further, you've got the NFL Network and NFL Red Zone sections of the app. These are where you will stream live games, but you do have to activate the app through a cable provider. So there is no option to actually subscribe and pay directly within the app to watch live games. That you'll have to do with a cable provider and then activate the app using that. So there's no content there unless an actual game is going on live. But again, NFL Network and NFL Red Zone is accessible through this app also. Lastly, within the app, you can dive into a specific team and see highlights just based on that team, see all the past games. Of course, you'll need the Game Pass subscription to watch all the different individual games, but if you just want to see the highlights for a specific team or look at the scores for all the past games for a specific team, you could do that through the app. You can also log in with your NFL.com login credentials with the app. I'm not quite sure exactly what that does to the app and what that changes, but that's it. It's a overall really nice app. The nice thing about the app is that there are a lot of options there within the app for streaming, whether you want to not pay anything and just stream things for free, whether you want to actually pay and watch the entire game on demand, or whether you want to log in with a cable subscription and actually watch the games live when they actually air. You know, there's all three of those options, so it's nice to have all of that within one app. Definitely check it out. Again, links down below to my overview, written guide about this app, and the link to the app directly. Moving on, we've got a couple interesting games that got released this week for the Fire TV. First up is Jade Empire Special Edition. This is only available on the Fire TV 2 because this game was originally released on the Xbox and then later released on Windows PC. I'm not too familiar with this game personally, but it's an RPG game, very popular apparently. A lot of people were waiting for this to get ported over to Android systems, so now it's available for the Fire TV 2. Hopefully it comes to the Fire TV 1. I'm not sure. I'm guessing that because of the graphic needs for this game, maybe it requires the extra horsepower that the Fire TV 2 has. Of course, I'll put a link down below to this game if you want to check it out. If you're looking for a new RPG, there's apparently 40 plus hours of gameplay in this app. So Looks like it's really interesting for those who are fans. Next game I want to talk about is Disney Crossy Road. So Crossy Road is probably the most popular game on the Fire TV, possibly next to Minecraft. Minecraft's probably the most popular game, but Crossy Road is probably the most popular free game on the Fire TV. It's got thousands upon thousands of reviews, got a 4.8 star rating, I believe. But the Disney version of Crossy Road, which is developed by the same people who made Crossy Road, has now come to the Fire TV. This game was only previously available on smartphones, so now it's come to the Fire TV. So if you've played through Crossy Road and you've collected all of the 100 or so characters available within that game, you can now install Disney Crossy Road. It's a free game, has 100 plus Disney characters you can collect within the game. There are different like Disney themed maps within the game that you can try playing, and different music, Disney themed music. So fun little game, really great for, you know, just casual gaming, because you don't need a game controller. You could just use the Fire TV's remote control. So I'll put a link down below to this game, of course, and you can check it out. Really nice little polished game. Should be fun for most people, kids and adults alike. Next up, so Amazon has actually put out their usual press release that gives a kind of a hint at some of their Black Friday deals that are coming out. And usually in this press release, they highlight at least most of their products and then some other stuff that's going to be on sale during Black Friday. So we have a better idea. I know I talked about in a previous video about the Black Friday deals that we think are coming this coming Black Friday shopping season. But now we pretty much have the prices for all of Amazon's devices, so we have a good idea of what's going on there. So I'll go over those right now, go over a little bit about whether those are good deals or not, my opinion on those based on what we've seen in the past. I am still working on my big Amazon device buyer's guide. I will have that posted most likely coming this coming Monday, you know, before Black Friday. I'll definitely have that up. That will basically break down every single device that Amazon makes and Amazon sells, you know, manufactures and sells themselves, to let you know what prices we've seen in the past, what's a good price, what's an okay price, what's a great price, and, you know, whether the device is worth picking up during this Black Friday. So I'm still working on that right now. I've been adding a lot of features to it, so hopefully that will come out very soon. I'm planning on Monday for that to be posted, so look for that. I'll, of course, put a link down below when that gets posted. But for what we know, we finally got confirmation that the Fire TV 2 is going to be on sale during this Black Friday for $74.99. That's down from the retail price of $89.99, which is a drop down from the old retail price of $99.99. So this price is not the rock bottom price that we've seen. That would be $69.99 when it was listed during Prime Day earlier this year. But this is the second lowest price we've ever seen for the Fire TV 2. So if you don't want to wait until Prime Day 2017, this is definitely the best price you'll get for the Fire TV. We already know from the previous information that the Fire TV Stick 2 is going to be $29.99 during Black Friday. That's $10 off of its retail price. That's going to be the first time you can get that at a discount, because this is the brand new version that just got released last month. So that's going to be a great deal there. I don't expect you're going to beat that price anytime from now to next Prime Day. Yeah, I expect this is probably going to be the most popular deal that Amazon sells on that day. You know, so get in on that one early. It'll probably sell out. Next, we know the Echo, the full-blown Amazon Echo, is going to be $139.99. We already knew about that. Like I said, that one is not the rock bottom price. That would be when it was $129.99 during Prime Day. But still, you'll kind of notice this trend where Prime Day is usually the absolute rock bottom price that Amazon has. That's a Prime only, Prime member only exclusive price. So that's kind of why it's lower than their regular Black Friday deals or Cyber Monday deals. So for the most part, for most devices, Prime Day will be the rock bottom, but usually only by a little bit compared to what you get it for Black Friday or Cyber Monday. So $139.99 for the Amazon Echo. The better deal, I think, is the Echo Dot, which is $39.99. That's going to be the first time that has dropped, you know, below its regular $49.99 retail price. So definitely pick that up. Again, next to the Fire TV 2, I think the Echo Dot, this is, the brand new one that just came out last month, that is going to be probably one of the most popular deals, probably second most popular, maybe even first most popular. So get in on that early if you do plan to buy that. And then again, we already know the Amazon Tap is going to be $89.99. That's not that great of a deal. Actually, right now, during this like weekend of Alexa exclusive deals, you can actually pick up the Amazon on tap for $79.99, and maybe even a little less if you haven't purchased anything with Alexa, because there's a little $5 promo that'll drop another $5 off of that. And so you'll get the Amazon tap for $74.99, essentially, if you haven't purchased anything through Alexa yet. Next is the Fire 7-inch tablet for $33.33. Again, this is a price we've seen in the past, but it's basically the lowest price this tablet has ever been. So that tablet is itself a year old now, just a little bit over a year old. So because of that, I don't know if this is quite a great deal. I would just say it's a good deal. If you are in the market for a very cheap, very inexpensive tablet, it's a good price for what you're getting. But again, I expect this tablet to be updated, probably early next year. And next is the Fire HD 8 tablet. This is a brand new tablet. It just came out, I think, a month or two ago. It was in September, I believe, down from $89.99 down to $59.99. That's a really good price. We haven't seen this tablet drop down below its retail price just yet because, again, it's a new tablet. So I think that one is a great deal. You should definitely pick that up if you're looking for a more robust, larger screen tablet than that base model 7-inch tablet. Then we've got pretty much all of the Kindles except for the Kindle Oasis going on sale. I won't go into the specific prices there, but you can see them here on the video version. And of course, I'll put a link down below to all of these sale prices and this list of all the sale items. And then there's definitely a lot of other items that are going to be on sale during Prime Day. Amazon gave a little preview of those. Again, I won't go into those specifically. There's a lot of TVs. They haven't really revealed the specific models of the TVs. They've just revealed like the specs and the size. So we know there's going to be a 32-inch 720p TV for $69.99. Again, most of these TV deals tend to sell out really quickly, so you really have to be on Amazon all day to catch these deals, but they are there, so you can kind of know what to expect there. And then there are a lot of other items that Amazon has revealed that will go on sale during Prime Day. Again, I'll put a link down below to everything I talked about, to this full list, so you guys can check it out at your leisure. I will also briefly mention that, like I said, Amazon's doing a weekend of Alexa exclusive deals. These have been going on since the first of the month, but Amazon is kind of, ramped it up a bit right now, starting today, Friday, and going through this weekend is what they said. So they've added a lot of items. But like I said, the Amazon tap is probably one of the better deals that are going on through Alexa only. So you have to order these through Alexa. You could do it on the Fire TV or the Fire TV stick if you have a voice remote, or if you use the actual Fire TV remote app that you can install on a smartphone or a tablet. You can also use Echo devices, Echo Dot, Amazon Tap if you already have one. And if your Fire tablet, if you have one of the newer Fire tablets and that has already received the Alexa over the air update that is rolling out right now, I believe, you can also order through that. But you have to be a Prime member, I believe, and you have to basically order through Alexa. But the Amazon Tap is $79.99. You can get the Tap case for $14.99. There's a TV, a 1080p 32-inch Samsung TV for $119. Again, I'll put a link down below in the show notes to all of these items, to the items on Amazon's site. They have a dedicated page showing the Alexa commands that you have to like speak out to get the exact item. So it's helpful to actually look at that page and look at the breakdown. And Amazon might be adding additional deals throughout the weekend, so you'll definitely want to check that out if you're interested in these. All right, moving on. Next bit of news is that the Grand Tour, which is Amazon's latest original show. This is the show that's from the three hosts of the former Top Gear series. They basically signed with Amazon to do their show, and it has premiered today, November 18th. So the first episode is available, and they're actually going to come out one per week every Friday. It's not going to all be available at once like you kind of are probably used to with Amazon, most of Amazon's original shows. But a lot of people have been anticipating this series. I'm a big fan of Top Gear, or the former Top Gear, and so I'm really looking forward to this. I haven't watched the first episode myself, but I'll probably be watching that as soon as I'm done recording this podcast episode. One thing worth noting is that Amazon has announced that they're going to make the series, the Grand Tour, available in 200 countries starting in December. So right now, you can watch, if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can watch the first episode in the US, the UK, Germany, and Austria and Japan. That's where Amazon Prime is currently, or Amazon Video is currently available. But because the Grand Tour has such a global audience, audience, they're going to make for the first time this show or any Amazon original available in a global sense. So they've said 200 countries, so that pretty much covers almost anywhere you'd want to watch this. They haven't specifically said whether Amazon Video as a whole is going to come to 200 countries or if it's just going to be this one series. So we'll have to wait and see in December when that actually happens and when this actually goes global to see whether it is an actual, like, you know, Amazon Video going global or if it is just this series. But I'll put links down below. There's like a mailing list you can get on if you want to be notified when it is available, I think in your country or just in general when it goes global, because I think all the countries are going to go global at the same time in December. So exciting news for those of you who are not in those regular Amazon Video countries. I know I get a lot of emails from people asking about DNSs and VPNs and ways to get around the geo blocks and stuff. So it's really nice to see Amazon is actually making this available in all the different countries that would probably want to watch it. And last up, before we get into the Q&A section, I did want to mention that Amazon's Music Unlimited streaming service now has family plans that have gone live. This is the premium music service from Amazon, where if, for example, like Amazon Prime Music is not enough, you know, that has, I believe, 1.2 or 2 million songs or so. But this Music Unlimited service has like 30 million plus songs, something like that. So this is the one where you have to pay extra for it, regardless of whether you're a Prime member or not. I talked about it in previous episodes. But the normally it goes for $9.99 per month for a single member. But if you have a family or a household of people who want to all listen to the music service, you can subscribe for $14.99 per month. If you're a Prime member, you have the option of actually paying a year ahead of time all at once for $149. That would essentially save you $30 and get you like 2 months worth for free. This service is linked with your Amazon household account. I'll put a link down below on what that means. But basically, it means that whoever you share this music service with has to be part of your Amazon household, which also means they have access to your basically payment methods on Amazon. So like if you have friends, for example, and you want to share your subscription with them, do realize that you have to add them to your household, and that gives them certain access to your Amazon account. So it's not meant to actually just pick six random friends that you have to just give, you know, free music access for. It's meant to just be within that one household. So I'll put links down below to more info. All right, next up, let's go into the Q&A section. As always, I put a post up on Thursdays asking people to submit their questions for me to try to answer here on the podcast episode. I've got a few questions here, so let's go ahead and get right into things. John is asking about the new NVIDIA Shield that I wrote about a little while ago and asking if there's any more info about that. We saw an FCC submission go through about what a device that looked like it would be the new NVIDIA Shield TV. And we also saw a new remote and a new game controller. Oddly enough, there has not been anything released as far as that goes. Maybe something happened. Maybe there were issues with the device, even though it did get FCC approval. But, you know, that happened back, I believe it was in September, if I'm not mistaken. And so we were expecting it to come out before the holidays. There is obviously still time for that to be released. But usually when a new hardware device comes out, you want it to come out in November before the Thanksgiving, Black Friday holiday shopping time period, so that it has a chance to actually make it and people buy it, you know, for holidays, for gifts. We haven't heard anything. I don't know if it was some other device. Maybe it was just a refresh to existing NVIDIA Shield hardware. Again, I haven't heard anything new about that. I'm definitely trying to keep an eye on that just to see if there is going to be a new NVIDIA Shield TV released. John is also asking, what apps do you have on your Fire TV that you actually use a fair amount? I actually don't use too many apps on my own Fire TV, even though I cover so many apps myself. I don't actually watch that much TV, or as much as I'd like to, actually. Most common apps I use are the usual ones. The YouTube, that's my go-to, and Netflix, that's usually my go-to. Obviously, of course, the Fire TV built-in Amazon videos. Those are pretty much the three most time-consuming apps that I use on the Fire TV myself. I do also like flipping through Pluto TV whenever I don't really know what to watch. That's a fun app that kind of brings in that old channel surfing experience. As far as like file managers, I like File Commander. That's the newer file manager that came out. I like that over ES File Explorer. So anytime I need to copy files or move files around or do some maintenance, delete files and that sort of stuff, I'll usually use that app. I also use an app called Air Receiver that I use that for AirPlay capabilities so that I can use an iPad or my wife's iPhone to stream apps to the Fire TV. I also use AllCast. That is an Android-based like streaming casting app. So you can install that on your Android phone and on the Fire TV. So I use that pretty regularly. I'll try to remember to put links down below to these apps and maybe some other apps that I'm not thinking about right now that I use often on the Fire TV. All right, next question here is from Stank. He says he picked up the 2015 Fire HD 8 for the refurbished version for that reduced price of $44.99 that I posted about earlier. And then now he's seeing that the 2016 version, the HD 8, is going to be a little bit more, $15 more during Black Friday. And he's wondering, what's my opinion on the two tablets? So I'm assuming Stank is trying to decide whether he should cancel his refurbished version or return that and go for the Black Friday newer version. It's actually a tough choice. You know, usually you would think newer version is always better, but I wrote an article about the details of this specifically. I'll put a link down below, of course. But when Amazon updated the HD 8, the Fire HD 8 tablet, they actually dropped some of the specs in order to reduce that price. So the 2015 version, I believe, went for $150, whereas the new version retails for $90. And that's because, yeah, they did increase the storage and the RAM, but they actually dropped down the CPU capabilities of it. I think it had a quad core 1.5 gigahertz on the previous model. New one's a 1.3 quad core. It's really tough. It's a real toss up with these two just because that refurb is so inexpensive at only $45. I personally would still probably go with the newer one, the Black Friday price, just because most likely that'll get software updates a little bit longer since it is a 1 year newer device. And that older one, even though it is more powerful, it isn't like, you know, Samsung Tab power or iPad power where you're really going to do like multitasking and really do a lot of stuff with it. You're really only going to use it to basically, you know, surf the web a little bit, watch some streaming video. That's pretty much what it's made for mostly. And you could do that just as well on the newer version with the lower CPU usage than the older version. And that extra, you know, internal storage is going to be handy for downloading offline videos from Amazon. And the extra RAM will just make it feel a little bit snappier. So yeah, I personally would pay that extra $15 to get the extra internal storage and extra RAM over the previous generation's extra, you know, raw CPU horsepower. All right, next question here is from Rex. He's asking about Google Play services on the Fire OS tablets. He says that an update to either Fire OS or Google Play services themselves made it stop working. He's asking if this is a problem that comes and goes or if I think it's permanent. Not too familiar with Google Play services on tablets, but just in general, running Google Play services or Google Play Store or any of the Google official apps on a non-sanctioned Google, you know, official Android version like, you know, Fire TVs or Fire tablets, it's always very hit or miss, more miss than hit, it seems, just because Google's services are so, you know, ingrained into each other. I mean, just to get Google Play Store or like the Google version of YouTube running on these devices, you usually need to like sideload four different apps so that you have all these services running in the background, and any change to any of those apps will break things and will make things incompatible. So it is very hit or miss. This is why I haven't really updated my Google Play installing guide for Rooted Fire TV, is just because when I update the guide, it's like within a few weeks or within a month or so, things break and things change, you know, either with Fire OS or with those Google apps. So yeah, I would say, you know, it's very, very finicky, you know, more permanent when things change, you know. So, you know, you just have to expect that if you're running these Google apps or these Google services on non-official hardware, then you're going to have issues and it's very hit or miss. All right, next question is from Matt. They're asking if the new Fire TV sticks are shipping with rootable software versions. No, they're not. If you're referring to the Fire TV Stick 2s, the new ones, those definitely are not shipping with rootable software versions because those are shipping with the latest, newest 5.2.2.0 software, and that has not been rooted. That's only available on the Fire TV Stick 2 right now. It hasn't even come to the older devices yet. So yeah, that's a very new, very fresh software version. It's not rootable in any methods right now. If you're talking about the older Fire TV Stick 1. Amazon is not selling those new anymore. They are still selling them refurbished. So if you're referring to that, I have heard that those are still shipping with rootable software versions. They're not shipping with the latest software version. So, but it is very hit or miss. I do know some people got refurbished Fire TV 1 boxes that did come with the latest software version on them, the 5.2.1.0. So it is hit or miss, but does sound like most people are getting refurbished devices that are rootable. Next question here is from Chris. He says he picked up the new 2016 Fire TV Stick 2. He says he's having some Wi-Fi issues, and he says Alexa is taking 5 to 10 seconds to respond. He's wondering if that's normal. Definitely the Wi-Fi issues are not normal, but as far as Alexa specifically, 5 to 10 seconds, if it literally is 5 full seconds and worse, 10 full seconds, that is definitely not normal. You know, on my devices, on my Fire TV and Fire TV Stick devices, Alexa usually responds back within 2 seconds, for sure, you know, and I would even say 2 seconds is long. So, it is definitely quicker than that. I have noticed recently it has gotten a little slower. I'm guessing because the Echo Dot got released. It's been very popular, very inexpensive, the most inexpensive way for people to get into the whole Echo ecosystem, that most likely the load on Amazon's Echo Alexa servers is kind of high, and they're probably going to be updating things soon, I would expect, because I have noticed it's kind of gotten a little bit slower lately. But definitely 5 to 10 seconds is not normal. I would think that it's because of your Wi-Fi issues. As far as fixing your Wi-Fi issues, one, be sure that you're using that extra little extension HDMI cable that comes with your device that lets it hang a little bit further from your AV equipment, from your TV, and that way you can get a better signal. Also, the Fire TV Stick 2 is capable of both 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz networks. So if you do have that option to switch from one to the other, try that. The 2.4 gigahertz network usually has longer range, so you can try that. But the 5 gigahertz network usually has less congestion, so you can also try that. There'll be less interference. So each one has advantages. So if you have a router that's capable of both versions, definitely try one over the other. You can also try changing channels. The Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick have actually a way to actually scan and see if there's a better channel for the device. I believe if you go into settings, system, and go to network, highlight your network connection, and I think if you hit the menu button, that will initiate a like diagnostic scan, and it will check to see if there's actually a better channel that your device could be on. So next comment here is from Frank H. He's saying, did you hear about the blue phones that coming from China with spyware on them? He says, since I reviewed one, he thought my listeners would like to know. Definitely a really good point. I forgot to mention it during the actual podcast, you know, news, but the Amazon like Prime exclusive phones that I talked about, a few episodes back, the ones made by Blue, it was the Blue R1 HD. Turns out that there was some spyware installed on those by default, so there's a software update going out right now that removes that and takes care of that. So I think everybody who bought those got an email, I know I did, that letting you know about the issue. And so definitely check for software updates, install the latest software on those devices or on those phones if you bought them. Next question is from Mar. They say, what's the estimated timeline for a new Fire TV 3? Any rumors or news? Definitely there hasn't been any rumors or any news. We haven't had any confirmation that this device exists or that there will be a Fire TV 3. I suspect at some point there will be a Fire TV 3, but I would say absolutely there will not be a Fire TV 3 released this year in 2016. So if there is going to be a Fire TV 3, I expect it to come out next year. My estimated guess would be around the April, May time period, because that's going to be around the 1.5 year mark when the Fire TV 2 was announced. And that's roughly how long it took for the Fire TV 2 to come out after the Fire TV 3 was announced. So that would be my guess, my best guess. I would be absolutely shocked. I mean, I would almost say guaranteed there will not be a Fire TV 3 released this year. So, but at the very earliest, I would say about 6 months from now is when we would probably expect the Fire TV 3 to be released. Next question is from John Smith. He's wondering if there's a way to have Alexa tell you which albums are available from a specific artist through Prime Music. Specifically, he wants to say something like, Alexa, what Rolling Stone albums can I play through Prime Music? As far as I know, there is no way to do this at all. You can say, like, play popular Rolling Stone songs from Prime Music, so that'll play popular music, but across different albums. There's no way to really hear a list of albums from an artist, not as far as I know. The only thing I can think of, and I've never tested this, so I don't know for sure. If you say, Alexa, shop Rolling Stone albums, I imagine it will read off lists, album names that are available on Amazon Music. But there's no guarantee those will be accessible through Prime Music. But you can always try them. So if you say, you know, Alexa, play such and such album by the Rolling Stones, if you obviously don't have it accessible through Prime Music, it'll just tell you that. So that's really that shopping aspect of Alexa is the only way I know how to get a list of albums. And this is just a guess. I assume it could do it. But yeah, unfortunately, there is no way. I would recommend contacting Amazon through their little feedback contact form. I'll put a link down below asking for this type of request. They do listen to that kind of feedback and they do add features based on customer requests like this. So that's actually a really nice feature to have. So, you know, put it in. Maybe other people listening will put in the request also and hopefully it'll come down the line. Actually, before I move on, I do know you can request music from specific decades. So if you kind of know when specific albums came out, you can ask by decade. So if you say, Alexa, play Rolling Stone music from, you know, 1985 or, you know, whatever you want. So that's one way to maybe get a specific album, because I assume only one album comes out in any particular year. So again, that's my only way, but obviously it's not what you were asking for, John, but it's just one other way of getting specific music from a specific artist. All right, next up from Hawkstead, we've got an actual feature request for the website. He's asking if I can list a number of comments a particular post has next to the posted date for it, so that he can kind of, when visiting the homepage, or he can kind of just skim through and see if there are any new comments on a particular article that he's trying to follow. I definitely think I could do that. That should be pretty easy for me to do, and I think that's a pretty nice addition. So I'll definitely look into doing that, and hopefully I'll have that change up soon on the site. All right, that'll conclude episode number 63 of the AFTV Newscast. Thank you so much for watching. As always, I put up the video version of the episodes on YouTube at youtube.com/AFTV News. If you happen to be watching the video version, please click through YouTube, hit that like button, subscribe to my YouTube channel. Like I mentioned at the beginning, I'll be cutting up parts of this episode, parts of past episodes, parts of future episodes into their own little independent videos so that you guys can watch, you know, particular sections of the episode that I think might be most interesting to people. And if you like those particular videos, I really encourage you to thumbs up those particular videos. That way I get a better idea of which topics people are most interested in watching, you know, video versions of, or watching me discuss, you know, in an actual like verbal way. You know, obviously I post up articles about everything, but sometimes you get a little bit more when I'm actually just discussing a particular article. So I'll actually add stuff that I don't actually write into the article itself. So that kind of gives me a way of gauging which topics, you know, work well in a, you know, YouTube video way. So if you are a subscriber on YouTube and you are watching those videos, please definitely hit the thumbs up buttons on those videos, you know, the little clips of those videos. Of course, as always, I put up the episode in audio versions through all of the different audio podcast clients. You can always search AFTV News or AFTV Newscast and usually find it through any particular service, any particular client. Thanks again so much for watching, and hope to see you next week.